Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Salt Patrol, two sacrament of matrimony car.
In action.
Yeah. We're both 10-8. 10-8 for Jesus, on duty.
Absolutely.
For Jesus.
What a wonderful day to be here.
Yeah, welcome to the Friday show.
Yes, absolutely. To you smart listeners there, you holy listeners.
That's
who
right.
You are. You're holy.
And you know what? Next week we're going to be celebrating All Saints Day and All Souls Day. So we're going to talk today about Halloween.
Yeah.
But before we do, we just want to remind you that
holy
the month of October is the month of the Holy Rosary.
Yes.
If you're not praying the daily rosary, you're not paying attention to Our Lady of Fatima, and that means you're not part of Team Jesus and Team Mary.
Mm-hmm.
That's the team you want to be part of. So pray your rosary every day. So many saints have had apparitions of Our Lady. So many popes in the last 700 years have promoted this.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take out our AR-15s,
yeah,
our rosaries,
the
and pray them every day.
Yes, absolutely. We need to be covered with the precious blood of Jesus through the Holy Rosary.
That's right. Where are we going tomorrow, by the way?
Okay, tomorrow, this weekend. Yes, you will be speaking at the North State Catholic Men's Power Retreat. And that's for men only. Sorry, women. And it will be held at our Divine Savior Catholic Church. So it's all men. So it starts
And where's it at? Chino,
tonight.
Chico, California.
Yes, Chico, California. It starts tonight. I believe it's 6 o'clock. And then it's all day on Saturday. So if you're anywhere in the vicinity or want to fly in, there's still time. There's still time for you to get there.
So it's called the North State Catholic Men's Power Retreat.
Yes, Power Retreat.
It's in Chico, California.
And just look at our website. We have it posted there. You can look at the flyers there. And also you can call the event coordinator or email him. So it's not too late to go in. They're taking walk-ins.
Yes.
So
hope to see you there tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. Let us know that you heard it on the show.
Yeah. Tonight and tomorrow.
I'd love to know how many people actually hear our advertisement on the show.
That's right. I'm going to get right into Halloween.
Yes.
Halloween means Holy Evening. Now, there's a disagreement, or could I say there's no agreement amongst Catholics about the issue of Halloween.
Right.
There's basically three positions that people take. Position number one, some people say, hey, no problem. Indulge yourself. Dress like a monster. Dress like a serial killer. Dress like a Playboy bunny. Embrace the secular culture with all its profanity and vulgarity on this day. Come on, we're just having a little fun. That's the first position.
Yeah.
The second position would be on the opposite side of the spectrum would be, oh, no. This whole day's demonic. Turn off your lights. Don't pass out candy. Lock the doors. Anybody who participates in this American holiday is going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
That's the opposite end of the spectrum. I've tried that. It doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work.
No. Because what happens is they just vandalize your house, the little monsters with eggs and rocks and stuff, whatever else
Even
they have.
Even if you leave candy out there, sometimes they'll just take all the candy in one fell swoop and break the bowl.
So here's the third way that I try to do. It's called, I try to transform the day by baptizing it with our Catholic faith. Because remember, this is the evening before two very holy days where graces from heaven are very powerful, All Saints and All Souls Day.
Right.
And so
that's what we're celebrating, the eve of All Saints Day.
Yeah, we're not celebrating anything satanic.
We're not,
not Catholics, at least.
Not Catholics.
Yeah. And I get it.
Catholics that are practicing Catholics.
Right, exactly.
You know, let's be specific.
So the third way is by transforming the day. I try to baptize the day with the Catholic faith. Here's what I do. Here's my protocol. Go to Mass that morning. I'm all prayed up. I'm all churched up. I have my Angelus, Divine Mercy, rosaries done.
Speaking of Mass,
in a state of grace.
Halloween falls on Sunday, so there should be no excuse of not going to Mass.
Exactly.
No excuse, right?
A holy
day of obligation.
Yes. And so I'll wear my Jesus is Lord cap. Then I'll wear some type of a Catholic T-shirt. Then I'll wear my big St. Benedict's crucifix around my neck. Then we'll pass out good candy. We don't pass out cheap candy. We'll pass out pretty good candy. And we'll have a Divine Mercy card that we just kind of stick in the bag as we're passing out the candy. and I look at these little goblins and ghouls, and I'll say, God love you. Jesus loves you. God bless you. And you could see their
Happy
face.
Holy Eve.
Yeah, you could see their faces light up. I haven't said that. I say the other ones. Their faces light up. And the parents on the sidewalk, they're like, wow. You could tell they're blessed by that. So I just want to remind you that in the Catholic Church, in the Middle Ages, a lot of the medieval churches had gargoyles. These are like, you know, demons, statues around the churches, around the perimeter of the roof. Why?
Yeah. Just look at the picture of the Vatican.
Yeah. It's not to glorify demons. Mm-hmm. It's to remind people of the reality of demons in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we know that many medieval saints preached during Lent with a human skull on the pulpit. This is the common practice, with a sign right underneath the skull or over the skull that read Memento Mori, which means remember you must die. That's Latin.
You know, it's funny. In our RCIA class, we have a skull there during Lent.
Oh, good.
Right on the podium.
Memento Mori.
Yes, right there where we're teaching. And it's funny. Last year, nobody asked about it. That was very strange that they would see the skull there at the top and they didn't ask about it until we told them.
Yeah.
So
I wish all Catholic churches would go back to that tradition
in the pulpit
for the month of November.
Yeah, that just tells you they're just disconnected with
the tradition of the church
and also of their own immortality, you know. Yeah.
Or their own mortality. Yeah.
And
let's not forget that these 3 days, October 31st, November 1st, and November 2nd, it's a good time to discuss with friends and relatives that are not church-going. Bring up a good conversation about the four last things, death, judgment, heaven, and hell. This is a perfect time to do so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let's jump right in, Anita, into this. We got a whole lot of articles we want to lean on.
Yes, we do.
Here's a good friend of mine, Taylor Marshall.
We didn't continue our questions and answers. We're going to continue next week.
Yeah. We took a hiatus because of Halloween.
Because we wanted to focus on this since in 2 days.
Yep.
So Dr. Taylor Marshall, he wrote an article, and his article is titled, Is Halloween the Devil's Day? Catholic Perspective from Dr. Taylor Marshall. So is Halloween the Devil's Day? Let's break it down and see how Satan is trying to steal our Catholic holidays. Are you ready? As you know, Halloween is short for All Hallows' Eve. Even, or Eve, refers to the evening before the day. Christmas Eve is the night before December 25th. Similarly, Hallows' Eve is the night before November 1st. The Catholic Festival of All Saints, this holy day of obligation, was once known as All Hallows. Since Hallow is a more ancient form of holy, for example, hallowed by thy name means holy is thy name.
That's right in the Our Father.
Yep, there you go.
So all saints equals All Hallows. And in fact, November 1st was once called Hallow Mass.
Mm-hmm.
For those linguists out there, hallowed comes from the Old English word halligra, which fell out of use before AD 1500.
Mm-hmm.
And those who know German will recognize a similarity to Heiliger.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is Halloween the devil's day? Is it evil? There are some Christians who have written off Halloween per se as some sort of diabolical black mass. This interpretation usually includes a legend of how the Catholic Church conspired with the Druids to corrupt Europe or some other ahistorical nonsense. But to be clear, it's the vigil of a Christian holy day. All Hallows' Eve, or All Saints' Day, or All Saints' Eve, excuse me. Has it been corrupted by our culture and consumer market? Of course it has. You bet it has. But they've also attempted to redefine marriage, Easter, Christmas, St. Valentine's, and increasingly Ash Wednesday. Yes, Christmas has also been derailed by the culture of death and the culture of lies. Does that mean that we're going to hand over Christmas to the pagans? No, no way.
Mm-hmm.
Same goes for Halloween. The church does not surrender what rightfully belongs to her. She wins it back. And in fact, hell is on the defense since Jesus Christ came, because it's the gates of hell. Gates are defensive. We're supposed to be storming the gates of hell. The sacrament of confirmation commissions us as soldiers for Christ. And the word pandemonium, here's your Greek word of the week. Mm-hmm. The word pandemonium derives from the Greek word pan, meaning all, and demonion, meaning little devil. Pandemonium means all devils.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And just think about that when you see it on the news, things are just going chaotic. And so it's pandemonium out here. So now you know.
It means all devils.
It means all devils. Whoa.
Yeah. So the devil would love to take over the feast day of All Saints and rebrand it as All Devils or Pandemonium. Mm-hmm. Are we going to let him? Hell no. No pun intended. Okay? Hell no. All the saints are ready for battle. Let's take back the entire Hollow Tritium. And what is the Hollow Tritium for Catholics?
Yeah, the Hollow Tritium is what? Halloween, October 31st. All Saints Day, Hallow Mass, November 1st. All Souls Day, November 2nd. We are to celebrate Hallow's Eve.
Oh, here she comes.
Here she comes.
The cause of our
joy.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Ora pro nobis. Ruega por nosotros.
Our Lady, the mystical rose.
We'll continue talking about Halloween. Stick around. Guadalupe,
pray for us. So tenderly you hold us in your arms. Your beauty and your grace are the bright little dawn. Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Are back. Jesus 911 with Jesse and Anita.
I just heard this. Your beauty and your grace are something of the dawn. It was beautiful. That's the bumper music that we have.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I think that people, that's why they listen to the shows, because of the bumper music. I don't know so much of because
maybe that's
of us.
It. That's all.
Yeah. So we're talking about Halloween.
Yeah, and we just left off on the Tritium.
Yeah.
What the Holy Tritium, Dr. Taylor Marshall described, we need to take back Halloween. And the Holy Tritium, which is Halloween, October 31st, All Saints Day, Hallow Mass, November 1st, and All Souls Day, November 2nd. And then
to celebrate all Hallows Eve, but let's clarify, mm-hmm. we don't celebrate it by glorifying the demonic.
No.
Dress your children as saints and be countercultural.
Yes.
Be leaven in the lump of your neighborhood. Be salt in the world of our society. Be hallowed or be holy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and don't forget, All Hallows, November 1st, is Sunday. So it's a mortal sin not to attend Holy Mass on Sundays. So now we move on to an article by Dr. John Horvat, another scholar, another Catholic scholar. And
right.
he talks about Halloween here.
Can Halloween be Christianized again? And he says, many claim it is a harmless holiday for children that Catholics may freely participate in. Others affirm that it has now descended into dark regions with the return of pagan and satanic imagery. It should thus be off limits. Third, and then there are those who look for the third way somewhere in between. They propose alternative celebrations, All Saints Day commemorations or fall festivals. In this way, Halloween, an originally Catholic feast, can be re-Christianized and re-proposed to promote the faith. They hope to turn Halloween into a teaching moment for all good Christians. Right there, that's where we, as an example, those practicing Catholics, should be an example during this time.
Yeah, I have a friend down the street in Mesa. His name's Cono Vertuccio. He's got a big farm. It's called Vertuccio Farms. He's got this big,
Fall festival, and they have everything.
And he's repurposed Halloween. Mm-hmm. How's he done it? When you go over there, he's got a lot of Catholic imagery in the farm. He got a section where he has Gregorian chant playing. And so people that are going to this fall festival, he's re-Christianizing it, and they don't even realize it because he's a serious Catholic. Dr. Horvath says that Halloween cannot be ignored. Finding a Christian way to celebrate Halloween is a problem for many parents. Halloween cannot be ignored. Why? Because it's a billion-dollar industry. It's in your face. The kids are at school. They have they're pressured to put on costumes. The teachers are dressing up, and we're going to have a parade. There's so much pressure on kids, and so our kids are going to be exposed to it, whether you like it or not. It's become a feast that is only surpassed by Christmas in terms of money. Many households now have Halloween decorations inside and outside their homes. It's a huge party night in which Americans spend billions of dollars on costumes and events. It's a big night adventure for children who engage in their traditional quest for trick-or-treat. However, another point cannot be ignored. The darker celebrations of Halloween glorify the occult, the bizarre, and the macabre. New developments in costumes make zombie-like outfits much more realistic and horrifying. The increasing popularity of satanic movements like Wicca has helped popularize Halloween as sacred to them, obviously. And the modern focus of Halloween is increasingly focused on a fascination with evil, horror, and gore. That's not Catholic. Ironically, a liberal society that deplores the rise of violence and abuse in other fields makes few objections to this bloody and macabre holiday.
Yeah. John Horvath says Halloween's pagan roots. Okay, thus finding a third way can only succeed if a Christian purpose and meaning to Halloween can prevail over today's setting of the tone by the macabre. Those looking for alternatives need to go back to the festival's roots, both pagan and Christian, to see if something might be salvaged. The remote origins of Halloween are problematic. There is no denying that Halloween is rooted in the Celtic Fall Festival of Shehem. It involved many superstitions and occult ceremonies directed toward the Druid Lord of Death. Some historians claim that the Druids practiced human or animal sacrifice and even occult orgies to mark special festivals. In this case, dressing up as evil spirits and demons was part of the celebration.
By the way, this was pre-Christian Ireland.
The ghastly and even toxic aspects of the pagan feast certainly stood in the need of being baptized. Indeed, the church responded to such opportunities to overturn the idols and rid peoples of superstitions. Many times, missionaries would take advantage of the habit of celebrating special pagan feast days to institute Christian feasts or holy days in their stead. So the church was trying to change things, evangelize. That's what they were trying to do, evangelize this pagan celebration.
Yes, because this is pre-Christian Ireland, before they became, again, they were evangelized by St. Patrick of Ireland and other missionaries. And they had their own, just like in Mexico. Before Our Lady of Guadalupe and the conquistadores, they worshipped Aztec deities. Same here with the Irish, the pre-Christian Irish. They also worshipped these druids from their pagan past as well.
Right, and that took a lot of courage, I'm sure, for all these people to go and try and evangelize. They're breaking through to something
diabolical.
Yeah.
So, you get killed when you try to stop the diabolical.
Absolutely.
As many missionaries know.
Yes.
Dr. Horvath writes, Halloween, a feast of charity to the poor. This is exactly what the church did to Halloween. In the 9th century, this pagan festival was replaced by a double day celebration remembering all the dead that are saved. All Saints Day remembers those who are uncanonized in heaven so that they might have their feast too. All Souls Day remembers the poor souls who are saved from the eternal fires of hell yet are suffering for a time in purgatory. The history of trick or treat.
I want to mention something right there. Poor souls. Why do we call them poor souls? We're calling them poor souls because they are suffering and they need our help. That's why they're called poor souls. And, you know, this movie, Purgatory, I don't know, it's just came out and it's going to be, it was shown.
It was on Monday and Thursday.
Monday and Thursday. And I'm not sure if it's going to still be shown. It was a wonderful movie, very insightful. And there was a scene where this gentleman, Everybody, it was a funeral scene. Everybody was walking out, the casket, the family. There's this one gentleman stayed in the church and specifically was praying for a soul. So that's what, they are the poor souls. Those are those ones that want, need our prayers. They don't need our tears. They don't need, turn your tears to prayers, because that's what they need. That's what they, and this movie was just, I mean, it described it so perfectly.
Yes, it did.
So, for those of you that haven't watched it, I'm sorry, I gave a little bit of...
Go to purgatorymovie.com.
Yeah, and that's something that you want to... And pay for it.
Yeah, pay for it.
Support the Catholic producers and the makers of this movie, because this is a way we evangelize through a lot of media and everything that we teach, the truth of the Catholic faith. Right? Okay, let's continue. Sorry, that was a sidebar.
No, that was a good sidebar. That
okay.
was a good sidebar.
Well, thank you, sweetie.
Yeah. So what's the history of trick or treat? On the eve of these two feasts, the bells would ring and town criers would remind all to pray for the poor souls. Thus, on All Hallows Eve, later Halloween, children from poor families would go door to door, receiving food and sweets in exchange for praying for the souls of the dead. This souling, as it was called, gave rise to canvassing for soul cakes, which became part of the tradition. Harmless pranks awaited the stingy givers. The revelers that would knock at the doors would sing, "Soul, soul, soul cake. Please, good missus, a soul cake. Apple, pear, plum, or cherry. Any good thing to make us all merry. One for Peter, two for Paul, three for him who made us all."
Yeah, they made it...
it was cute.
Biblical. Peter and Paul, they mentioned two...
could see there was already yeah. Christianity was already influencing this very early on.
Infiltrating.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
the good.
yeah, counter-infiltration.
Yes.
So Halloween was thus a feast that benefited the poor on earth and those who were so much poorer in purgatory. It was a time of mirth, but also great charity.
Okay, the church, he says, the church as mother. While there are times of penance and fasting in the liturgical year, there are also times of joy. The church, as a true mother, provides the faithful with festive days of feasting and merrymaking. Thus, the church has no problem with merrymaking, in which people dressed up in costumes to visit their neighbors. In medieval Europe, it was very popular for people to go mummering, the practice of visiting neighborhoods while dressed up in disguises. The revelers would sing, feast, and play tricks in return for refreshment, money, or good wishes. Such mummering was very popular on major feast days, of which there are many in the Middle Ages. They did not degenerate into rowdy or bawdy festivals like those which plague today's de-Christianized Mardi Gras or such other feasts.
The Protestant prohibition and eventual acceptance, here's what happened. Mm-hmm. In Protestant Europe and America, Halloween was on the prohibited index of religious practices in colonial times. A list that some radical Protestant sects extended to Christmas, it was not observed until Irish Catholic immigrants in the 19th century brought the custom with them to their new homeland, the U.S. And I would say there's anti-Catholic bias as to why they didn't accept it. So in the 20s, a secularized version of Halloween was introduced with the practice of trick-or-treating. It gradually gained traction and acceptance by the 50s. By the way, here's a sidebar. The church has not issued any prohibitions on celebrating Halloween, so Catholics remain free to participate in accord with their conscience.
Their conscience. There you go.
Just like the vax. So the modern focus of Halloween is increasingly focused on a fascination with evil, horror, and gore. That's not Catholic. However, the more recent celebrations have stressed its pagan origins with its preternatural and ghoulish overtones. It is combined with the slasher and horror films and zombie-themed parties and events to make it a festival of darkness embracing the evil side of the spiritual world. That's not Catholic either. Thus, Halloween has returned to its pagan origins and abandoned those of Christian charity. It no longer belongs to the poor, but to those engaging in amusement and self-indulgence. Once the Feast of Innocent Little Children, it now includes reveling adults Those who celebrate do not pray for the salvation of poor souls, but harbor instead a diabolical glee over damned souls.
Oh, the cause of our joy just came in the room.
We shall continue.
Welcome, Mother Mary.
We're talking about Halloween. By the way, tonight I'm going to be at North State Catholic Men's Power Retreat.
In Chico, California. Just look on our website.
Hope to see you there.
Ora por nobis. Are back at the bottom of the hour.
Tobias and Sarah.
Jesse and Anita. Jesus 911.
Yep,
we are here.
This is the Friday Spiritual Warfare. It's a Catholic couple talking about all things spiritual warfare. And again, remember that the Catholic family is called to be the domestic church. So it makes sense that we as a Catholic couple are talking about things that are relevant for us today and for our children in terms of how to defend ourselves from the diabolical and his
right.
deceptions and his lies.
Absolutely.
We're talking about Halloween.
Yes, Halloween. And
friend of the show, Dr. Yes. Horvat, wrote a good article.
Right. And his question, re-Christianizing Halloween, right?
Yeah. Or can Halloween be re-Christianized?
Right, right.
That's the question.
So he says, resourceful clergy and parents have found alternatives that capture the imagination of children. Many of these include parties in which children dress up as saints or religious figures as a way of celebrating All Saints Day. These alternative events can be helpful in imparting some Catholic culture to children, but they can only go so far. Such celebrations cannot compete with the supercharged media promotion of today's neo-pagan Halloween. Children will be exposed to the ghoulish Halloween in stores, schools, or the house decorations in their neighborhood. Like other aspects of modern culture, they cannot be ignored. Arranging a peaceful coexistence between Catholic and pagan celebrations of Halloween is bound to fail since it does not address the need to fight against evil. It prepares the child for defeat later in life since all must eventually confront the reality of evil without the help of others. This is what we did. We figured that out. We can't keep our kids from not celebrating Halloween, but just being exposed to it.
Yeah,
although our children didn't care for it at all, and they still don't care for it.
And I'll tell you why.
Because they never cared for
Halloween. I catechized them very early on, and I sat down and talked with them as a father. I said, a lot of Satanists mm-hmm. and witches celebrate this day. There's animal sacrifices. There's all kinds of hexes and curses. Crime goes up. I told my kids this very early on. Guess what? They're like, oh, Halloween's here. I don't want to go out. I want to.
They'd stay in.
All I did was I proposed to them. Okay, I'm your father. Let me tell you a little bit about this night. Mm-hmm. I know it's before two holy days for us as Catholics, but this night here, there is a lot of planned evil and occultic mm-hmm. evil. So I've told them. So my kids have always had they've always been leery of, because I gave them the full picture. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Catholics don't know this. Yeah. What we're saying yeah. right now, a lot of Catholics don't know this.
And we did always try emphasize that it is the Eve, a holy Eve.
Yes.
To celebrate.
And we're going to Mass the next
our
day.
Christian brother and sisters that are in heaven mm-hmm. and the wonderful things that they did to be examples for us here on earth to be lovers of Christ.
Yes.
And the reward we would get if we... Follow in their footsteps as best as we can, right?
By the way, if your kids or your grandkids go out again, there's a lot of pressure to participate in this.
Yeah.
Pray with them. Say, okay,
pray
let's
for
get
them
together.
Before.
Let's get together in front
Absolutely.
Of this crucifix or image of Our Lady, our Lord, and let's say in Our Father and three Hail Marys and a Glory Be.
Right.
And then you, if you're the dad or grandfather, go ahead and bless them.
Yep.
Okay, bless them with the sign of the cross as they go
and
out.
And pour holy water
yeah.
on them.
Say, hey, everybody, put holy water on you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. If they're going to go out and stuff,
yeah.
and also... You have to draw a line, say, nobody's going to be dressing like monsters or ghouls or something inappropriate or Playboy bunnies. If you're going to dress like something, you can make a concession. Say, okay, you want to be a superhero? Okay, got it. Okay, that's the big thing, superheroes.
That's noble.
Okay, that's something virtuous, at least,
mm-hmm.
except Superman now. Now
yeah.
Superman's transgender, that's
yeah,
what I heard.
Like, oh.
So, Lord help us. So, re-Christianizing Halloween, that is why the only real way to re-Christianize Halloween is to reject any peaceful coexistence in these cultural matters. This will happen when clergy and parents teach children to confront the world they cannot ignore or avoid. They must delve deeply into the faith. Children must be fortified by the sacramental life and prayer to engage in this battle in a manner appropriate to their age. Thus, any Christianized celebration of Halloween needs to reinforce the idea that there's a cultural battle going on between the forces of good and evil. Hell exists, and its fires must be avoided. What better way to demonstrate these truths than to point out the macabre manifestations of evil that appear everywhere during Halloween? It could also serve as an occasion to point out the victory of the saints over the evils of their day, and the eve of the church's two holy days might even return to a time to make merry and eat sweet soul cakes while praying for the poor souls suffering in purgatory. Now we want to go to some statements that were made under Pope Benedict the 16th that gave us strong warnings. I repeat, the church hasn't issued any prohibitions, but the church has issued strong warnings on celebrating Halloween like a pagan. So Catholics remain free to participate in accord with their conscience. And we want to share a couple of these articles.
And that's the key. Celebrating Halloween like a pagan.
Yeah.
That's the prohibition.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
That's the warning. As Catholics and as practicing Catholics, we should be celebrating because we are celebrating All Holy's Eve. Remember that.
By the way, this one exorcist in Rome, we're just going to call him Father Aldo because his last name has like all the alphabet. So his name's Father Aldo.
Bonauro.
Okay.
Bonauro. I think
if you want to do it. So the Vatican exorcist blames Halloween for increased possessions. He calls for Halloween instead of Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
So this Vatican exorcist, Father Aldo Buenoito, he's blaming Halloween for a spike in demonic possessions around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And Father Aldo told the British publication that he's part of the International Association of Exorcists started by Father Amorth, the AIE. They held their first conference back in, I think it was in 2009, more than 300 exorcists attended the conference, recognized by the Vatican. And he wrote in a publication, or he told a publication, that his organization's emergency number receives hundreds of calls on October 31st, up from an average of 40 per day due to concerns about increased occult activity. Now, he says, many say Halloween is a simple carnival, but this exorcist, Father Aldo, he says, but in fact, there's nothing innocent or fun about it. There are always more rituals, animal sacrifices, desecrations of cemeteries, and thefts of sacred bones. From here, the door to the devil can be opened.
Yep.
As a result, and another spokesman for the AIE, the Association of International Exorcists, Walter Cascioli, told Vatican Radio that there was a steady increase in possessions on October 31st.
Mm-hmm.
The battle against evil is becoming more of an emergency. We're calling for major vigilance. As a result, the Catholic Church in Italy wants to replace the night of costumes and trick-or-treating with a positive event called Halloween.
While most people are steeped in zombies and horror, we put on our door or windows a light or an image evocative of the saints. Father Aldo said in a statement, and then there will be masses, prayer vigils, and worship to celebrate the saints and victory of good or over evil. And according to the Daily Mail, Pope Francis sent a message to the AIE conference about treating the possessed with love and kindness from the church towards those who suffer because of the evil one.
By the way, the AIE was started by Father Gabriel Amorth. Rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
Anita, can you share what Father Gabriel Amorth actually said? There's another article we have here.
Yeah, there's an article. He said, should Catholics celebrate Halloween? He says,
by
Father Gabriel Amorth, the exorcist. He just passed away about 4 years ago.
Yes.
Father Gabriel Amorth said, to celebrate Halloween is like celebrating the devil. Okay, quote unquote. That's what he said. To celebrate Halloween is like celebrating the devil. Father Gabriel Amorth, who has died at age 91, was probably the most well-known exorcist in the world. I mean, the first time we've heard of an exorcist was him.
Yes.
He had condemned the celebration of Halloween and warned of a danger to young people. because of the increase in occult activity, which fuels insomnia, mental illness, depression, and suicidal thoughts in children. He said, quote, psychiatrical and psychological studies show that children can't sleep, are agitated, depressed, obsessed, and suicidal, end quote. He also said, Halloween is really a spiritual gathering presented as a form of game, and that it is the equivalent of singing hosannas to the devil, end quote. Wow, he's hardline on this.
Yeah, he is.
He's very hardline on
well,
that.
Well, he's been doing...
And I'm, you know what? He yeah. knows. He knows.
He's been doing hand-to-hand combat with Satan for like 30 years.
Right, right.
So he's speaking
If he had it his way, no Halloween, period.
Yeah. Right? The way the pagans celebrate.
Right, the way the pagans celebrate.
Yeah, let's qualify that.
Yeah, right.
These exorcists are denouncing the way the pagans in our country, this billion-dollar industry, dressed like a whore, dressed like a pimp. Mm-hmm. That's what they're denouncing.
Yeah.
Let's go and throw caution to the wind, you know, just licentiousness, indulge, self-indulgence. That's what they're talking about.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's a lot of, during the exorcisms, there's been a lot of revelations to the exorcists about this day. You know, their high holy day.
Yes.
As a matter of fact,
Anton LaVey says it.
Right. Isn't as a matter of fact, the Protestant Reformation was on October 31st. For all this note, that's when it started.
Halloween Day.
Halloween, October 31st.
So continue with the Father more thing.
He continues, we should understand that a pope...
You're right here. Yes, I did.
Hosannas to the devil. That a pope 843 years after Christ, Gregory the Fourth moved the Feast of All Saints, which at the time was on May 13th to November 1st, in order to stop this evil tradition which had arrived from Ireland of adoring the world of the dead. Wow. That I believe that's definitely from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. All of our cultures, I think, they have something pagan and evil and wicked like us. Us in the Aztec culture.
Just like the ring. The wedding ring came from a pagan, and we Christianized it.
Yeah,
the wedding
ring.
That's
a good tradition.
That's a good tradition.
Yeah.
And that's what we... Okay.
By the way, what's Father's bios for people that are just listening about him for the first time? So they're going to say, well, so who's this Father Gabriel Amorth that Anita's quoting?
So Father Gabriel Amorth was the head exorcist.
Yeah, for Rome.
For Rome. And I think of the world in his time.
Well, he started the AIE.
He started the AIE. And he... Oh, we'll continue this.
Here she comes.
Yeah, I don't want
the mother of the Savior.
Yes.
Mater Dei, like your license plate.
Mater Dei. Uh-oh.
Mater Dei, ora pro nobis.
Is that what it says? Absolutely. I want to honor our mother all the time.
We'll be right back.
Pray for us. Are the bright new dawn, Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. So tenderly you hold us in your...
Thank you, Mother Mary.
Amen. Mater Dei, ora pro nobis. We're going to be at tonight?
Yeah, we are going to be at tonight at North State Catholic Men's Power Retreat. It's going to be at our Savior. Oh, gosh. Our Divine Savior Catholic Church. I had to look at it. And it's going to start at 6 o'clock for you men out there. Why don't you come and join us?
It'll be on tomorrow as well, Saturday.
Right, absolutely. Saturday all day.
So I'd like to meet you. Like to know if you're a listener and stuff and how VMPR has affected your walk with the Lord.
Yes.
We continue. Now, this is Pope Benedict. Wow. This has papal weight here because he's a theologian unlike any other pope we've ever had, par excellence. He's the greatest theologian ever to sit on the chair of Peter, and he actually makes a theological statement. So he's talking about faith and morals here because he's not talking about politics or other things. The article says Halloween is dangerous, says the Pope. This is Pope Benedict.
Yeah.
As he slams, he calls it an anti-Christian festival.
Mm-hmm.
So the Vatican attempted, this is back in 2009, to put a brake on the growing popularity of Halloween yesterday. It was October 30th, 2009, branding it anti-Christian and dangerous. The condemnation follows criticism from Catholic bishops who this week urged parents not to let their children dress up as ghosts and goblins. See, that's the point. We can't act like pagans.
Mm-hmm.
The Vatican spoke out on the eve of tonight's ritual, which falls before the significant Catholic Holy Days of All Saints, Pope Benedict XVI, pictured in the Vatican, has slammed Halloween as dangerous. He says Halloween is largely a secular celebration which has its origins in an ancient festival marking the start of the darker half of the year. Again,
yeah, that's interesting. I like that, the way he described it, marking the start of the darker half of the year. But don't you notice it gets darker? There's less light for throughout the day. I mean, the hours of light.
Yeah.
And there's more hours of darkness.
There's a direct connection there.
Yes, yes.
And this is why the Satanists, again, in their official literature.
I love the way he described Satanist, that.
This is one of their two high holy days.
Mm-hmm.
So in the article entitled The Dangerous Messages of Halloween, the Vatican's official newspaper, L'Osservatore Romano, quoted liturgical expert Father Joan Maria Canals as saying, quote, Halloween has an undercurrent of occultism and is absolutely anti-Christian.
Yeah. Father continues urged parents to be aware of this and try to direct the meaning of the feast towards wholesomeness and beauty rather than terror, fear, and death. The Vatican newspaper praised a church at Alcalá de Henares in Spain, which had decided to hold a prayer vigil on Saturday night, and the Paris Archdiocese idea of having children play a lucky dip dubbed Holy Winds instead. So I guess that's a game.
Yeah.
Last night, another Catholic group or a group of that same time, you know, of course it wasn't last night.
So 2009.
Yes.
Yeah.
The influential associate of Pope John Paul XXIII joined the condemnation, calling it a great satanic ritual.
Wow. So this is a lay group called the Association of Pope John the 23rd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It said, we appeal to the whole Catholic community not to promote this recourse to the macabre and the horrific. All parents and all those that hold the values of life dear should know that Halloween is an adoration of Satan, which is carried out underhand through parties and games for children and adults. The Catholic Church in Italy has taken a dim view of Halloween celebration for years.
Father
Aldo, head of the Catholic Church's anti-occult and sect unit, warned parents of the dangers to children and said that the event promotes a culture of death.
Remember, he's an exorcist.
Yeah. He added, Halloween pushes new generations towards a mentality of esoteric magic, and it attacks sacred and spiritual values through a devious initiation to the art and images of the occult. At best, it gives a big helping hand to consumerism and materialism.
Yeah, it's a $1 billion industry.
Right, it's more than Christmas.
Yep.
It makes more than Christmas.
Here's one more. Yeah. I think it quotes pretty much the same people. It's called Vatican Condemns Halloween as Anti-Christian. This was written back again in 2009 as well. Mm-hmm. The Holy See has warned the parents that parents should not allow their children to dress up as ghosts and ghouls on Saturday, calling Halloween a pagan celebration of terror and fear. The Roman Catholic Church has become alarmed in recent years by the spread of Halloween traditions from the U.S. to other countries around the world. As in Britain, it is only in recent years that Italian children have dressed up in costumes, played trick-or-treat on their neighbors, and made lanterns out of hollowed-out pumpkins. The Vatican issued the warning through its official newspaper, so it pretty much says the same thing. Halloween's dangerous messages, quoting Father Maria Canals, Halloween has an undercurrent of occultism and is absolutely anti-Christian. So it's pretty much the same article.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I think there's one other new thing here.
Mm-hmm.
It says a newspaper controlled by Italian bishops, Avenir, called for a boycott of Halloween, calling it, so this is new here, a dangerous celebration of horror and the macabre, which could encourage pitiless satanic sects without scruples. And earlier this week, the Catholic Church in Spain also condemned the growing popularity of Halloween, saying it threatened to overshadow the Christian festival of All Saints Day. And here's another one. Here's another new one. Mm-hmm. The Bishop of Sigüenza, Guadalajara, that's in Mexico, Bishop Jose Sanchez, he said that there was a risk that Halloween could replace Christian customs like devotion to saints and praying for the dead. There's also another bishop, Anita, that said something like that, too.
Yeah, the other bishop. He says...
His name is?
Bishop Norberto Rivera de Mexico. Yeah.
Cardenal Norberto.
Yeah, Cardenal, yeah.
Rivera.
He said, the bishop pointed out, he said, if we seek to be faithful to our faith and to the values of the gospel, we must conclude that the feast of Halloween not only has nothing to do with the celebration that gave rise to it, but it is even harmful on and contrary to Christian faith and life.
Yep, and he also says, Halloween is contrary to the Catholic faith. So these are bishop statements, successors of the apostles.
And they're exorcists.
Yeah. he teaches, Cardinal Roberto Rivera, he teaches the exorcist in Mexico's Academy of Exorcisms. Yeah. He's a bishop, and he's one of the professors there.
You know, we got to ask bishops, why don't they just go ahead and give all their bishops, I mean, all the priests that they ordain the faculties of exorcism.
They do that in the
that
the,
would
in
be
the
just
East.
Wonderful. Yeah. You know how strong, much stronger our church would be if they would allow these good priests,
the holy priests
that believe to become exorcists. That's something I want to ask one of the bishops.
Yeah,
and I think I am.
Yeah, I don't know
when I have that opportunity.
Yeah, they don't do, well. Oh, I think I'd answer the question, but it's not real. Pope Paul VI actually took that office away after Vatican II. Yeah, it was before Vatican II, every priest had the office of exorcist before 1965. Mm. But after Vatican II, that order was removed. It was called the Minor Order of Exorcists.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Now we're in a kind of in a mess.
A big mess.
Yeah. So let's just go back and talk about again. I think there's three ways to really confront Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, you don't want to confront it like a progressive liberal, like, you know, throwing caution to the wind, like, hey, I'm going to dress like a pimp and, you know, and just go out there and get blasted and get drunk and go to all these secular parties where people are dressed like Playboy bunnies and everybody's just grabbing on each other. Don't do that.
Yeah.
And you don't go to Mass that day.
It's a reality. It's here. So we have to learn how to Christianize it.
Yes, that's the point that I'm making.
Yeah, we have to learn how to Christianize. There's ways we can get around it. And it's by teaching your children, teaching your neighbors, having big block, you know, holy saints parties, Holy Eve parties.
Or at your parish, people do them at their parish.
And I know a lot of homeschoolers are big at this. Homeschoolers, you're the ones that are leading the charge in this because that's where we learned it from.
Exactly.
When I homeschooled our children in our home, and you know, it was wonderful. It was just a wonderful experience for myself and for Jesse and the kids. And I know Terry Barber, who's the president of VMPR, he was involved in all that also. So
I can tell you how powerful it is when people know that you're a follower of Christ. A neighbor was walking by, kind of a young guy.
He's a
professional. He's very, very successful. He's got a couple of kids. And he was walking by the house. I was taking out the trash the other night. And he looked at me. He goes, hey, Jesse. And I forget his name. And I said, hey, how are you, neighbor? And he goes, you know something? I just want to tell you. I walk my boy every night. We walk down the street, father-son time. And he goes, I love walking by your house. He goes, there's so much peace. He goes, you know, when you're secular, he goes, there's so much energy that comes from your house, but it's a peaceful
energy.
And he goes, and I said, oh, why? Because I got a big statue of Jesus and Mary on both sides of the front door. And I got a big old Bible verse that's for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. And I got a Celtic cross that drives out demons right in my front yard. That's the cross of St. Patrick that drives out demons. I had that right in my front yard, like almost near the sidewalk. He says,
our statue of Jesus says, be still, know that I am God.
Yes. And it's on the front. It's right in the front yard. Yeah. People can see it. And he goes, your house brings so much peace to this neighborhood. And again, this is a secular neighbor who recognized this. Again, imagine if he was.
I think that's someone that's reaching out. I really do.
I need to go over to the house and have a talk with you and your wife. We're going to have to go. And he goes, we'd like to have you over.
I think he's reaching out.
Imagine if I would have had a bunch of RIP stuff on the lawn and tombstones.
Like next door.
Yeah, like next
they
door to the right of me.
And
rats and ghouls and goblins and spider webs all over.
And it's funny, that next door neighbor, their big ugly dragon that was a blow-up
a blob dragon. Yeah,
blob dragon. It was on the ground, and I said, good.
Yeah.
Evil was defeated when I passed by.
Who knows? Maybe somebody popped it with a pin.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe, because it was
could
on.
Be.
Yeah. It wasn't me.
Yeah, it wasn't me either. But the fact is,
I stay in my lane.
Yeah, the fact is even from your house, your property, my property, this is my castle.
Yep.
And so I'm going to project what I want to my entire neighborhood. What I believe, what's in my heart. I told my neighbor, said, you wear your Catholicism in your sleeve. I said, yeah, that's right. I said, I think we all should wear what we believe on our sleeve.
Yeah,
and he goes,
absolutely.
I agree with you. He goes, especially when it promotes goodness.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, that's a wrap. Jesus,
that's
911.
It. Oh my gosh, it went by so fast.
Have a happy, holy, blessed Halloween.
And we'll see you at the event.
Yes. Oh no, Halloween pious. No, it's tonight.
Tonight at our Divine Savior Catholic Church.
Yeah. But Halloween is
Sunday. 2 days.
So have a holy, happy, holy, blessed Halloween, and celebrate it like a Catholic Christian, a follower of Christ.
Yes.
Up next, Gary Machuda, Hands on Apologetics. That's
amazing
a wrap.
Amazing time with you all. God bless you.
Virgo Potens.
Ora pro nobis.